From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Andrea Mako reports at Porcupine Soup that Greene County has now exceeded 5,000 COVID-19 cases. That means more than 10% of the county residents have caught the contagious virus. Greene County also reported 3 more deaths from coronavirus on November 29th. So far, Greene County has had 5,027 cases and 87 deaths since pandemic rules began being implemented here in March 2020. Columbia County, with a larger population, reports 6,107 cases and 106 deaths since March 2020. Columbia County has reported that no one who was vaccinated has died there of COVID-19, but Greene County hides the vaccination statuses of its deaths. Greene County officials did not report that one of the people who died last week was in their early 30s and the other two were in their 50s, all with comorbidities. The only major local hospital, Columbia Memorial in Hudson, began temporarily prohibiting visitors to its inpatient units this week as case counts grow. Hospital officials said in a press release, and I quote, "Keeping the number of people in the facility to a minimum will help protect our patients, staff, and community." In Greene County, 26,680 of the 47,491 citizens are fully vaccinated. In Columbia County, 38,397 of the 59,916 citizens have been fully vaccinated. You can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Kenneth C. Crow and Brendan J. Lyons are reporting for the Times Union. A judge on Wednesday, December 1st, unsealed an indictment accusing Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin of misusing campaign funds and falsifying campaign finance filings. The indictment was the product of a long-running investigation by the State Attorney General's Office and the FBI. McLaughlin, a Republican, was indicted on 2 felony counts, grand larceny and offering a false instrument for filing. The AG's office began its probe of McLaughlin's campaign for county executive in 2017 and included an examination of his financial dealings during the time he was a member of the state assembly. McLaughlin allegedly stole $5,000 in funds from his campaign account on November 21, 2017, just weeks after winning election to his county post. He then falsely reported the expense in campaign documents filed with the State Board of Elections. McLaughlin arrived in the courtroom Wednesday for his arraignment around noon in front of Judge Jennifer Sober. The newly re-elected county executive, who was represented by attorney Benjamin W. Hill, has until January 17th to enter a plea. He was released on his own recognizance. McLaughlin did not speak during the proceedings before Sober. He rushed from the courtroom without responding to reporters' questions. The Democratic minority leader of the Rensselaer County Legislature called on McLaughlin to resign, while the Republican chairman of the GOP-controlled legislature stuck by him. The indictment was handed up by a county grand jury following a November presentation by the members of the Attorney General's Public Integrity Unit. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. Agriculture producers and farmers in New York are preparing for a decision in the coming weeks by state labor officials that could lower the threshold for overtime pay. Farmers statewide traveled to Albany December 1st to urge Governor Kathy Hochul to oppose the change and outline the impact that change would have on their businesses. Eric Ohms, a dairy farmer from Columbia County and the vice president of the New York Farm Bureau, said, and I quote, "It's going to force a lot of change. It could mean people growing more corn. It could mean people getting out of the business entirely," end quote. At issue is the lowering of the threshold for overtime pay from 60 hours a week. Farmers say the change is unrealistic for agricultural businesses that do not operate on a 9-to-5 schedule. Farmers like Ohms warn the move would mean reduction in New York-grown products at markets and grocery stores. Ohms said, and I quote, "If you raise their labor rates that much, it's going to lead to less vegetables growing in this state. We evolve, everyone evolves over time. But if you want fresh fruit and vegetables and fresh products in New York, this is not the best way to accomplish that. End quote. You can read more about this story at nystateofpolitics.com. Patricia R. Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Acting State Supreme Court Justice Edward McLaughlin has ordered the Dutchess County Board of Elections to open 7 absentee ballots cast in the town of Stanford elections last month. The validity of those ballots had been challenged by the Republicans, prompting the attorney for the Democratic candidate to withdraw his objection to 5 contested absentee ballots cast by the GOP, according to the Democratic Elections Commissioner Hannah Black. Black said McLaughlin decided the 7 ballots contested by Republicans had to be open because there was no legal challenge to their validity. She said, and I quote, "The 7 should have technically been opened before we went to court," end quote. The votes cast on the 12 ballots in question did not change the outcome of the election, Black said. Following the court's ruling, Dutchess County Republican Elections Commissioner Eric Height released a statement in which he said he was, and I quote, "gratified the court ordered the Board of Elections to count all the ballots. The Democrats tried to pull a stunt to only count the Democrat absentee and discard the Republican ballots," end quote. Committee or candidate challenges to the validity of absentee and affidavit ballots are not unusual. Those ballots are sometimes set aside for 3 days, then counted, provided no court action has been filed. In the Stanford case, Trowbridge filed an order to show cause in state Supreme Court involving the 5 ballots he challenged, which he and Black said blocked the Board of Elections from opening the ballots until a court determined their validity. There was no court action filed challenging the validity of the 7 ballots to which Republicans objected. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.